What is action? Meeting encounters in the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts through this equipment, the body, mind, intellect. If you go back to the chart, meeting encounters, Swamiji used to say, a series of experiences. If you stake a wall, every brick is a unit of experience, action, and then all these units add to make a wall and you say, I have a good life. So in order to bring Arjuna's mind to a state of calm, Krishna expounds Karma Yoga, referred to as Buddhi Yoga, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And we start with the four principles. And the first principle, if you have your book and you're following, verse 47, one of the most famous verses in the Bhagavad Gita.
Karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahe turbhuhu ma te sangotsva karmani.
This verse is kind of split into four portions. And it says, let me read the translation from my book. You have the right to work only, karmanyevadhikaraste, but never to its fruits. Ma phaleshu kadachan. Let not the fruits of the action be your motive. Ma karma phala hetur bhuhu. And nor let your attachment be to inaction. Let's look at it. I've recently taught this verse and some of you may be familiar, but we'll revisit it. It seems very contradictory. Krishna, you are telling me I must do karma. Don't we all do karma because we have a desire to gain something? And then you're saying don't be attached to the fruits. Don't be focused on the fruits of action. And don't be inactive. Okay, that part I understood. Don't be inactive, be dynamic. But this seems contrary. This seems contradictory. Where is the motive force? Aren't we all working for a profit? That's why we feel sometimes this Hindu philosophy, Vedic philosophy, is not practical. But really speaking, this is the language of the scripture and it's written in a particular style. Let's decode this verse. Here Krishna asks us to change our attitude to work, not the work. When we change this attitude to work, we can achieve ultimately the highest state of being in the state of being, actionlessness, which he had described earlier as the sthita prajna. We dealt with it in the previous session. If a person has acted with the right attitude, their mind becomes calm, less agitation, less desires, less desire prompted, selfish desire prompted activity. And naturally, when there are less and less selfish desires, your mind is relatively at peace. Along with study of the scripture and understanding great ideas inspired by what the masters have taught from all traditions, you become fit for contemplation. You start living in the world and nothing starts bothering you. This is what the teaching of the Gita is. It is for all of us who are living in the world, not a runaway philosophy. Krishna now points out in this verse, karmanye vadhikaraste, your adhikar, you only have the right to work. It means you have free will. Te karmanya eva adhikar asti. Free will is unique to human beings. Animals don't have free will. We are evolved or supposed to be evolved. When we hear this, you only have the right to work and not to the fruit, we think, oh my God, I have no free will. Everything is predestined by God. Then why do anything? This is a fatalistic philosophy. Krishna does not mean your effort is wasted. He only means that the result of an action is determined not only by your efforts. There are many factors which come into play. Swamiji used to always say, the result of an action is produced by laws over which you have no control. Factors over which you have no control. For example, if I organize an event, I may show up, but if there is no audience, or I'm there, there are 1,000 people, there is no microphone, or the chief guest does not come, anything can happen, number of things can happen. I alone cannot control the result of my action. I am a contributor. I have 10% of the role. Other people get together and other people are also influencing the actual outcome. So, once you understand this concept, what? That I don't have 100% control, though I have 100% free will how to act. Once you understand that the result is unpredictable, I can do my best, and still we see so many products in the market. Oh, they do a great launch, so many startups, so many great things, put in a lot of money, failed. Restaurants, the other day somebody told me, oh, this person has a chain of restaurants which are successful, but he opened one in this town and they weren't ready for it. They weren't ready for a gourmet restaurant. So anything can happen. The point here is the result of an action comes after an action. The action is in my hand. I have total free will. The result is unpredictable. If I know this, then don't make your happiness depend on unpredictable factors. This is the key point here. The result is a byproduct of your action. You focus your energy on the action itself. Focus your energy on enjoying the moment. We don't do that. We let that energy drain. Let that action itself be the reward. The beauty of the performance be the reward. And when we take this kind of an attitude towards action, we learn, even if it is not 100% successful in worldly terms, we learn from the experience, we grow. We actually enjoy playing it. So like a game of tennis, even if you lose, so what? The joy was in the game. I know, tell that to all those big tournaments. They don't feel that way, but this is a fact. But even when they lose, they say we enjoyed the game. We enjoyed playing with that opponent. That kind of spirit. So action for the sake of action. Therefore, ma phaleshu kadachan. Four parts. Karmanye vadhikaraste, you have only the right to act because free will is given to you. The result is not in your hand. Ma phaleshu kadachan. The result is never determined only by your action. This is all it means. Put in your best action. Put in 100% of your effort. Therefore, it reminds me of a story which is kind of makes sense here. A man had a dream and God came to him in the dream and said, look, there is a big boulder outside your house and I want you to push it and keep on pushing it. So the man started doing that 1 week, 10 days, 1 month, 2 months, that boulder wouldn't move. He got very exasperated and negative thoughts started flowing in him. I'm making so much effort. God told me to push this. Nothing is happening. And then he started crying and but somehow he revived himself. He started praying to God and he said, God, I have done this for the last 3 months and nothing. It has not moved. And you are telling me, push this, push this. I obeyed you. I obeyed you implicitly. And God told him, my dear, I told you to push it. And look at, in the process, you have developed muscle. You didn't need to pay for a gym. You have developed strong muscles. Your body has become so strong. Your body is sculpted. And look at that. You obeyed me. I asked you to push. I didn't ask you to move it. I will move it. In other words, the very action here in this story, the very action gave a blessing. But sometimes we don't recognize the blessing in the action. We're always looking at the result, the end result, the end result. And in the process, we don't enjoy this moment. So be here now.